About to begin, in a certain sense, it's a new sugya. It's very much some of the principles that we've been talking about in terms of bathing. Up until now, we've been talking about bathing on Shabbos. We're now about to move into the realm of bathing on Yom Tov. So, what is halacha about? The simplest, most basic, straightforward question: a person wants to heat up water in order to bathe on Yom Tov. So, our initial reaction to that question should be hetagoma. What's the shaila? After all, I'm allowed to cook water in order to make myself a cup of tea on Yom Tov, a lot of water to make a bowl of soup on Yom Tov, so Ochel Nefesh is permissible on Yom Tov. Well, this is not quite Ochel Nefesh. I'm not exactly going to eat or drink this water. So, Afa Pichain, even though I'm not physically going to eat, it should still be mutter, based on a variety of reasons. Actually, when the Rambam formulates the dinim of Ochel Nefesh, so the Rambam describes that all of Hanos Aguf are subsumed under the category of Ochel Nefesh. Anything that a person does that physically enjoys himself, enjoying his body is enjoying, that's considered to be Eichel Nefesh. So according to the Rambam, it should be an open and shut case. Of course it's mutter to heat up water on Yom Tov. It should be Hetter Gomer as Eichel Nefesh, no different than making a cup of tea. Even those Rishon who don't take that extension of the Rambam, that all Tzarchi Aguf are considered to be Eichel Nefesh, it should still be mutter based on the principle of Mitoch. We know, we spoke about this many times, that the Mishnah says that what is permitted to carry a lulav on Yom Tov, was permitted to push a baby carriage on Yom Tov, permitted to carry a machzor on Yom Tov. Why? You're not going to eat them. So the answer is mitoch shehutra otzol etzorach u'dinam shelo etzorach. Since you're permitted to carry for echol nefesh, you're permitted to carry for other tzorach ayom as well. So at first glance, we should plug that principle into Bishul as well. If it's mitoch, that it's permissible to cook water for tea, it should be permissible to cook up water for bathing as well. So the starting point of our entire sugi is, some people end up at the concluding point, but the starting point of the sugi is that it should be mutal l'chatchila, without any hesitation, to heat up water in Yom Tov for any washing, any bathing, any shower you need whatsoever, either because you want to call it literal echol nefesh, in the sense of all tzarchi aguf, or you want to invoke the heter of mitoch, either one should be a valid matir to permit bathing and showering normally in Yom Tov. That's what the starting point should be. The problem is that there's a dual problem. Half the problem is that's what the Mishnah seems to say. There is a Mishnah, Maseches Beitzah, that actually says that you're permitted to heat up water for your feet, for your hands, feet, and face. The Mishnah does say that. So it sounds like everything in the Chorah should be mutter. On the other hand, the Gemara that we've been talking about, the whole sugya of Rechitz V'Chamin on Shabbos, seems to undermine everything I've just said. So if we go back to the second of the Ma'amar Kamos, at the very beginning, the second of the Ma'amar Kamos. So remember, the Mishnah told us a story. Ma'isa she'asu anshei Tiberia, ve'hiviyu silon shel tzoron lasoch ama shel chamin. Once it happened in Tiberia, that the people in Tiberia wanted to heat up water on Shabbos, so they figured out a kunst. They took a pipe of cold water, and they ran the pipe of cold water into the hot springs of Tiberia. Amalem chacham, what they did was asur. And what was the ramifications of what they did were also in b'Shabbos kecham shechum b'Shabbos. If what they did was, if the story took place on Shabbos, so then we treat it like water that was heated up on Shabbos. V'asurim brechitza v'shtia. Water that was heated up on Shabbos is off limits entirely. You can't use it to wash nor to drink. In b'yamtiv, if all they did was on yamtiv, kecham shechum b'yamtiv. Then we're going to treat it like cham shechum b'yamtiv. V'asurim brechitza mutar b'shtia. And one of the ramifications, one of the consequences of water that was heated up on Yom Tov, it's permitted to drink. Obviously, you're allowed to make tea, allowed to make soup on Yom Tov, but you're not permitted to wash with that water. So you see clearly from this Mishnah that there's some kind of a distinction between Shtiyah versus Rechitza. That drink water on Yom Tov, hot water, is for sure okay. To wash without water is a problem. If what I said for the first 5 minutes of the Shiur is, I was trying to sell you that it's het the government to heat up water on Yom Tov under all circumstances, to wash, to bathe, shower, whatever you want to do with it. So what in the world will Chazal criticize in the Anshei Tiberia? Why do they tell the Anshei Tiberia, if what you did on Yom Tov, that water is off limits, because Rechitza b'Yom Tov is also. What do you mean Rechitza b'Yom Tov is also? I just told you a minute ago that Rechitza b'Yom Tov should have been mutter. So the truth is that even within that source that I originally quoted, that you're permitted to heat up water to wash your hands, feet, and face on Yom Tov, within that source itself, you see that other bathing is also. Why did the Mishnah have to talk about heating up water to wash your feet? Why did the Mishnah just say you can take a bath on Yom Tov? So you see clearly that heter, that grandiose heter that I presented to you, why not? What could possibly be wrong with bathing on Yom Tov? There's something wrong with it, I said. You see clearly from the story of the Ma'isa Anshei Tiberia. You see clearly from the fact that Chazal are or limiting the heter, only to punish the raglov, that something funny is going on here, that there is some kind of an iser behind the scenes of heating up water on Yom Tov, which really have no idea what it's all about. To make matters even worse, if for some deep dark secret it's also, then why is it mutter to heat up for your face? Well, the Mishnah says before, you should heat up water to wash your hands, feet, and face. So we don't understand. We're walking a very, very fine line. We're walking a tightrope between, on the one hand, we thought all of bathing on Yom Tov should have been mutter because everything is eichel nefesh slash mitoch. Chazal are clearly telling us that that's not the case, because otherwise the story of Anshei Tveri makes no sense. And the diuk of the Mishnah, that the Mishnah was mutter only hands, feet, and face, wouldn't be true. So we're backtracking what we said originally. We thought everything is mutter, now we think everything is osur. But if everything is osur, so then why is Panav Yadav Raglav mutter? So we're still not sure. We still don't have it clear what's really going on, what's behind the scenes of this isser or potential heter of bathing on Yom Tov. So comes Tosus and tries to make sense out of this whole sugya. So comes Tosus, the 10th of the Marmakamos, on our sugya Shabbos Lamatessa, the sugya Sabalonim, the Basil Matirin Mash, Madafka Raglov. The fact that Basil will say you can heat up water to wash your feet sounds like only your feet. But to wash your entire body, not. And that's what it sounds like in our entire sugya. So Tosfos starts out making all the diukim that we just said. It does gets a little bit sidetracked. So Tosfos says, if you continue down to Omri, four lines into the Tosfos, the Omri b'shem riva, derechitza eina el lektainug, v'yasura kamo mugmar the aser prakavadik subis. So comes Tosfos and says that the reason why you're not permitted to bathe, heat up water on Yom Tov, is a problem in HaTorah. What could possibly be the problem in HaTorah? So he invokes the Gemara Maseches Ksubos and Daf Zayin, where the Gemara says that even though it's mutter to light fires on Yom Tov, again, some pre-existing flames, you're allowed to light fires, you're allowed to cook, you're allowed to carry, everything's okay, but there's one rule that limits, that governs Eichel Nefesh. It has to be Acha Sheye Ocha L'chol Nefesh. L'chol Nefesh teaches me it has to be a Dover HaShoveh L'chol Nefesh. It has to be something that normal people like to do. Dover HaShoveh L'chol Nefesh. Cooking is a normal kind of a thing. People like to eat food, carrying normal things. Those things are all okay. But once you start to do something which is very exotic, something which is very strange, that most normal people don't consider to be necessary, just a pleasure, that's already a problem. That's not included. That's not subsumed under the heter of Dover Shavuach Nefesh. What's an example of that? So the Gemara in Ksubas of Zion is talking about lighting a mugmar. Lighting a mugmar means lighting, they used to burn these kinds of spices. I don't want to describe what certain places Bizman Hazed do these kinds of things, but they take certain spices and make these special smells and burning incense, all these kinds of things. So the Gemara says, most normal people don't consider that to be such a tzarech. If you want to do that at Yom Tov, so let's make a cheshbon. It should be mutter. I'm taking spices, putting it around the fire, making a nice smell. I'm enjoying it. It should be mutter. It should be achol nefesh. It should be mitoch. So the Gemara says, no, it's also min haTorah, because it's what's called eino shav l'chol nefesh. So Tosfos dug up this Gemara in Ksubas Dav Zayin that puts the brakes on the heter of achol nefesh. So Tosfos now extrapolates from that Gemara to the sugya of bathing. Tosfos says, for a person who wants to heat up water to drink, that's normal. Cup of tea, cup of bowl of soup, that's normal. Person wants to heat up water to wash his face, that's normal. Everybody washes their face. You want to wash your hands, your feet, that's normal. You want to take a bath, just that's just, I'm a sugar, no, whatever. We call it as a mefunak, such as a delicate, special, sensitive person has to have to take a bath, has to take a shower. That's considered to be what's called a davar she'eino shavu l'chol nefesh. Rechitza's part of Yadav Raglav, that's called shavu l'chol nefesh. Rechitza's called gufo, that's called a davar she'eino shavu l'chol nefesh. And therefore, Tosfos says, that's the reason why you can't bathe. That's the reason why you can't heat up water for showering and bathing on Yom Tov. Because it falls short in terms of Dover HaShoveh L'chol Nefesh. I have not yet ready to discuss the application of that Bizman Hazeh. Obviously, we're going to get to that eventually. But let's just take Tosfos at face value. But now Tosfos gets into a little bit of a pickle. They seem to be guilty of overkill. Because there is a Gemara that they quoted a little bit earlier that speaks about heating up water on Yom Tov, not for the purpose of bathing, but for the purpose of making a steam room, make a shvitz, we're called Zeya. So the Gemara explains to us that Me'ikar Adin, Zeya is permissible on Yom Tov. If you're allowed to heat up water to make a shvitz, to sit in the steam room and enjoy the, as your skin pores open up, that's okay on Yom Tov. Me'ikar Adin, Midirabbanan, at a later stage in life, later in the days of Chazal, they asked Zeya for technical reasons. People get go to Zeya, they can do other things. So Midirabbanan, they put the brakes on Zeya. But Min HaTorah, it's clear from the Gemara that Zeya is permissible. You're allowed to heat up, make a steam room on Yom Tov. So now Tosfos gets themselves into the corner. We just explained the whole Shtichel Torah, why you're not allowed to heat up water to bathe on Yom Tov, because it's Dovah She'enu Shavu L'chol Nefesh. It's an exotic kind of a pleasure most normal people don't associate as being necessary. So if so, says Tosfos, then obviously Zeya should have also fallen to that same category, and Zeya heating up water for the steam room should have been also in the Seder Aisa, and that's a checkmate, that sheet of Tosfos. It's the Ferish Gemara not that way. It says black and white, Gozrel HaZeh B'Yom Tov. Then in later generations, the Tanoi made a Gezerah not to go to the steam room on Yom Tov. What's the difference? If you hold that Echol Nefesh is mutter, Echol Nefesh is mutter, so Rechitza should also be mutter. You want to put the brakes in Echol Nefesh and tell me it's a Dovash Eno Shavu L'Chol Nefesh, so then why should Zeya be more Shavu L'Chol Nefesh than Rechitza? That's what Tosfos's problem is. So Tosfos continues. So if you go back to that Tosfos, go back again, V'Omer Re, full on to the bottom, V'Omer Re B'Shem Riva, the Rechitza Eno El Tainug, V'Asura K'Va Mugma, the Asura K'Va Mdiksubis, Shub the Ein Shavu L'Chol Nefesh, V'Chein Mashmer B'Rishalmi, the Hainu Time of the Rechitza. Tosfos says, we didn't make up this reason. It actually sounds that way in the Rishami, maybe. Aval Zeya Shavihi L'chol Nefesh. But going to the steam room, that's called Shavu L'chol Nefesh. Now, Tosfos is aware of the fact that they have to now support that claim. They have to start taking a survey, take a poll of how many people like to go to the steam room. Tosfos says, no, you don't have to do that. Why? The Eina Tainug El Labrius, says Tosfos, introduces a new category. Tosfos says that any activity that's done for health purposes, that automatically is called the Dovah Shavu L'chol Nefesh. Dovah She'enu Shavu L'chol Nefesh means some shunadika thing that it's not on the normal radar screen. What puts things on a normal radar screen? One of two things. Either if lamaisa people are doing it, I mean, eating soup is a normal activity, whether it's healthy or not healthy doesn't matter. Eating a hamburger, I'm not going to comment on the health or not, making a hamburger on a grill and a barbecue on Yom Tov, that's called the Dovah Shavu L'chol Nefesh. People eat hamburgers, that's true, whether they should or should not. But, says Tosfos, when you have an activity that even though most people aren't necessarily doing, not everyone's running to do activity X, but the doctor says it's a good idea. The reason why people are doing it is for a very good justified reason of health. So whenever something's being done for a justified health reason, that's automatically subsumed under the category called Dovah Shavu L'chol Nefesh, even if not everybody's doing it. That's Tosfos' new Hagdar, Tosfos' new definition of Dovah Shavu L'chol Nefesh. Tosfos says with this new definition, now we can understand why. Making a hamburger is okay, even though you're not doing it for health reasons, because that's normal. Going to the steam room, min haTorah, heating up water for the shvitz, is mutter min haTorah also. But about the technicalities, don't do it. But with the rice, it's mutter, even though most people aren't doing it, but it's being done for health reasons. Showering is falling literally right between the cracks. Showering, Tosfos is claiming, is something that most people are not necessarily doing. And number two, it's not necessarily associated with health reasons, and therefore it's nishtinish there, therefore it doesn't qualify as a Dovah Shavu L'chol Nefesh. Now again, we may argue with both Metzius questions of Tosfos. Metzius may change, it means facts may change or people's perceptions may change. So a lot of that is gonna may potentially be up for discussion, Bizman Azeh. But again, let's put ourselves back to the mindset of the Baal Yatayzke. It's very hard. We like to superimpose, you know, modern day sensitivities onto Baal Yatayzus. Let's not forget, Baal Yatayzus lived in the Middle Ages. Middle Ages, the number one activity every day wasn't necessarily going to take a shower. There were reasons why the plagues were spreading in the Middle Ages the way they were. So Lamaisa Tosfos writes that not so normal, not everybody takes showers. Even days of Chazal. Chazal speak about the importance of once a week. On Friday, you have to go wash yourself on Friday to cover Shabbos. The implication is people weren't showering all the time. So comes, Tosfos says, therefore showering falls short of being a Dovah Shavu L'chol Nefesh, and we cannot even justify it based on health concerns like we did vis-a-vis the Shvitzi that was considered to be a healthy kind of activity. So therefore Tosfos says, Zeya is mutter min haTorah, Rechitza is also min haTorah. That's how Tosfos presents the entire sugya. So in the middle of this discussion, Tosfos threw a little bit of a curveball at us. Tosfos got into trouble with Zeya because they developed this principle of Ein Shavu L'chol Nefesh and applying it to showering. They got into trouble with the apparent application to Zeya also, And they had to take a step back and redefine Ein Hashem V'chol Nefesh by introducing a new factor called Brios. Nobody else was forced to introduce this factor. If you would have asked me, what's called a Dov Hashem V'chol Nefesh? What's called a Dov Ein Hashem V'chol Nefesh? How do you define that Din D'Oraisa? That D'Oraisa is a limitation of V'chol Nefesh. If you would have asked me, I would have said, take the poll. The survey says, how many people have to do it to make a Shavu L'chol Nefesh? 51%, 80%, 90%, I have no idea. But if you would have asked me, I would have said, just take a survey and see how many people are doing it. If most people are doing it, that's called Shavu L'chol Nefesh. Most people are not doing it, it's not. It doesn't interest me why they are not doing it. It doesn't matter that they're doing it for health reasons. If only 10% of the population is doing it, even though they may be doing it for justified health reasons, who says that's called Shavu L'chol Nefesh? So Tosfos said it. But Tosfos, we have to appreciate, Tosfos was forced into their kula because they created this whole problem with Rechitza. So now they had to offset the problem with Rechitza to give you Heta for Zeya. So they created a new category called Brios. Other Rishonim who didn't go down Tosfos's route, we'll see a little bit later, the Rambam, the Rabban, other Rishonim who didn't present the Sugya Bechlal like the Balei Tosfos did, according to those Rishonim, they're not Meshubat the Tosfos Chiddush and Brios. So this is Takasha Lamaisa. This, forget about the showering and the Shvitzing, forget about all this. Just a shayla of Brios, just Brios alone. Is Brios automatically, health reasons, medical reasons, automatically called Dovra Hashem L'chol Nefesh? Or do I say no? There's a shayla L'chol Nefesh. A guy wants to carry on Yontif. There's no Erev. He wants to carry medicine on Yontif, assuming that he has a head to take it. Again, as we spoke about in the past, some medicines are permissible on Shabbos and Yontif, some are not. The guy wants to carry his Tylenol with him, wants to carry his allergy, whatever it is. He wants to carry medicine on Yontif. What's the din? He permitted to carry medicine on Yontif. So one could argue, that's not a normal thing. Most people are not walking around taking Tylenol. So the 90% of the population is not normally taking Tylenol. I can push a baby carriage on Yontif. That's called a Dov Hashem V'chol Nefesh. I can carry a boxer on Yontif. Dov Hashem V'chol Nefesh. I can carry my food to the sukkah. That's called a Dov Hashem V'chol Nefesh. To carry my Tylenol, that's called a Dov Hashem V'chol Nefesh. So Tosfos saved the day. Tosfos just said that, well, it's being done for health reasons. Health reasons is automatically called a Dov Hashem V'chol Nefesh. This is a big chiddush. I didn't say we necessarily pass like this Tosfos. This Tosfos is shita. This chiddush of Tosfos, the Dov Hashem V'chol Nefesh automatically includes anything done for medicinal purposes, was the source of a very, very famous kula, a very controversial kula, and remains to be I wouldn't even call it controversial, but I would call it non-existent. Let's see if it's, I don't think I put it on the Mabakomus because it's hard to find. Okay, we'll say it Baal Peh. It's a famous kula of the Pnei Yeshua that appears on this sugya. In Masechta Shabbos, Daf Lamites, Pnei Yeshua has this famous, famous kula. So please just hang in there for a minute with the kula. Don't jump on me if I finish saying the kula. Says the Pnei Yeshua, and again, everything has to be put into context. The Pnei Yeshua lived back in 1700s. He lived in, originally actually in Frankfurt, if I'm mistaken. He was in Frankfurt, he was in Berlin, he was in Germany. And I think at one time he was in Berlin. If I'm not mistaken, last time I was in Berlin, they showed me the place where his old shul was. So, anyway, whatever it is. So the Pnei Yeshua writes the following Chiddush Gadol. He writes that became an interesting shayla in Europe. What was the shayla? Is one permitted to smoke on Yontif? Again, until the days of the Acharonim, nobody talked about the shayla because the Rishonim didn't have tobacco. The tobacco was from the New World, so they never heard of such a concept. But in the days already, in the days of Pnei Yeshua, by the 1700s, tobacco was very much had made its way into Europe. And Tosfos discussed the shtiyos are tobacco. They weren't describing cigarettes, they were describing pipes. So are you permitted to smoke a pipe on Yontif? What's the deal? So the starting point is, what should be the shayla? Should we have to go more? After all, you're allowed to, as long as you don't mamish light and strike a match, as long as you take for a pre-existing candle, pre-existing flame, what's the shayla? You're allowed to make a flame in order to cook your soup, so why can't I make a flame in order to smoke the tobacco? So that's the starting point. So comes the Pnei Yeshua and says, not so simple. Maybe it should be yasser, because it's the dover she'eino shavu l'chol nefesh. It's something that not everybody does. Not well, it's like the mugmar. So that's the Pnei Yeshua starts off by saying that. L'chora, it should have been mutter, but now maybe we have to ask for it because it's like the mugmar, it's like the spice, like the incense. It's a dovish eino shav l'chol nefesh. Then he thinks about it a little bit, thinks about it, says, no, not so pasha. So, and again, please don't take the Pnei Yeshua to task. It's a 17th century, 1700s in Germany. Comes the Pnei Yeshua and says, well, let's ask ourselves, why are people smoking these pipes? What are they trying to accomplish with the smoking the pipes? So he says, yadua, that people are smoking the pipes because it's healthy to smoke the pipes. aids in digestion. That's the, I think we spoke about this in the past. Does it aid in digestion? So there was a theory out there, again, you can tell me what it is. There was a theory about relaxing part of muscles and something, so maybe, is there anything to that? Nothing.
I don't think so.
No, okay. So Dr. Fisher disagrees with the Rav Yeshua's assessment that it's to be healthy. So as we say, the person can be the healthiest dead person if he smokes. So obviously nobody b'shum part of the open is advocating smoking under any circumstances. Forget about the Yontif the rest of the week also. But again, in the 1700s, before anybody realized that smoking is taka dangerous, so there was a theory out there, I don't think it was just a Pnei theory, I think this was the common word in the street, that there was some kind of a health benefit to smoking. So therefore the Pnei Yeshua plugged in this thesis. So he says, some wanted to be mopped to smoking, others wanted to ask for smoking on Yontif because they thought it was a Shavuchon Nefesh. So I'm going to be mopped to smoking on Yontif because I think it is called the Shavuchon Nefesh. Most people aren't smoking. It's still mutter because of Brias based on this thesis of Zeya, the difference between Zeya and Rechitza. That was the Chiddush Gadol of the Pnei Yeshua. So there were some Acharonim who disagreed vehemently with this Pnei Yeshua. They guess they held attack the fish, and they held, what kind of health? There's no health benefit to it. This is 200, 300 years before they realized how dangerous it was. So other poskim said it's no health, that's not the reason why. Who says we pass like this Taisus anyway? Other Rishonim disagree with the Taisus. Therefore, it's Taka, a Davish, and a Shavuchon Nefesh. It's Taka, a Mugmar, and it should be also min HaTorah to smoke on Yom. That was the view of many, many other poskim. Lefiri is daiti bizman hazeh. I think it's a moot question, the issue of smoking on Yom Tov, for two reasons. First of all, as the Gemara Yevamah says, ein isachal lisser. Once something is also for one reason, it can't be also for a second reason. It's an issed, lefiri is daiti, it's an issed deraisa to smoke from Sunday to Friday also, even not on the Yom Tov. It's not even a shal, not even a sofik. It's considered to be an issed deraisa because it's dangerous. That's it. It's yedua before some to prove time and time again that it's dangerous, so therefore it's also in a Torah. Even Rav Moshe, who a long time ago wrote a tshuva, where they asked Rav Moshe about smoking, so Rav Moshe discussed the application of the Gemara in Yevamos about Shoma Pesoyim Hashem, when you certain activities that are have a certain element of danger to them, but the Olam does them anyway. So the Gemara seems to say that that's okay. The Gemara says you have certain activities that there's a slight risk of danger to it. Otherwise, they don't have a self. So you can't get into a plane. You can't get into a car. You can't walk across the street. You can't go. A lot of things you can't do. So the answer is that within reason, within normalcy, things that are not considered to be such a high risk that people don't perceive to be so dangerous. So we apply the rule of Shom Pesoy Hashem. A Pesi means a fool. It means Hashem watches the fools. So Hashem watches the fools who go on amusement park rides. There's a small element of danger to it. But millions of people are doing it, and nobody, you know, when a person goes to the amusement park, so you don't walk in with that trepidation. I do. So most people don't walk in with that. My kids don't. That's the problem. With that trepidation that the Khalila, you know, there's a risk in your life. So we can't ask them going on a roller coaster. Guy gets onto a plane, so there's a, you know, Khalila, 0.1 chance of a problem. But even goes there. People get on. Haraya, nobody pays attention to the safety video. I mean, you get onto the plane, you strap in, and you go to sleep. Finish. So nobody takes it so seriously as much as that. So therefore, you can't ask to go on a plane. You can't say it's dangerous, even though the reality is there's a certain degree of risk to it.
It needs to be a statistic, meaning in modern times, statistically, they say if you do this, this occurs 1 in 30 million, this comes 1 in 10 million, this comes 1 in 5 million, this comes 1 in 100. Would that be the Easter?
So that creates a certain mindset. Shom Pesoy Hashem, the poskim right, is things that the oilam, when I say the oilam, I mean responsible people generally ignore. Responsible people ignore the risk of flying. Responsible people, I can't say they ignore the risk of. Depends how irresponsible you are about going to the amusement park. But responsible people ignore the risk of getting into a car. So those kinds of things are permissible. But responsible people, a lot of people do not ignore, rightfully so, the risk of smoking. Again, I'm not sure whether it ultimately boils down to statistics.
Skiing and skydiving and, but, you know,
so it becomes a very, very tricky question. At what point you draw the line of Shom Pesoy Hashem? At what point you say this is a chashash sakana? At what point you say shah? And obviously, not all poskim are going to draw the line at precisely the same point. So getting at least back into smoking. Lefiri is that, even though Ramesha one time said, hey, Ramesha hasn't been alive already for, almost 30 years already. So the way the medical knowledge talks to us in the year Tavshinayin Hei I find it very difficult for anybody to defend any practice of smoking whatsoever the rest of the weeks. I think it's an issur gomur min haTorah, b'lishum safek. But I'm willing to play devil's advocate for a second. Let's talk about Yom Tov. Let's forget about the rest of the week. Forget about the Shemat Moshav Sechem. Let's just talk about Yom Tov for a second. Lefiyani is dieti. I don't see any heter whatsoever to be matis smoking on Yom Tov. I said, listen, the whole heter was based on the Pnei Yeshua. The whole heter was based on the fact that the Pnei Yeshua was right, and says it's right, that it's done b'derech brius. Does anybody today say with a straight face that they're smoking for brius, smoking for health reasons? It's hard to, obviously very hard to defend that practice.
What do you do if someone's addicted to nicotine?
Tell them to become not addicted. You're right.
Still not Prius.
Right. It's still not.
They have a sickness, an addiction. Right. Even the guy who's addicted doesn't think that it's good for him.
Right. He knows it's
the guy taking drugs is addicted to drugs. Doesn't think it's good for him.
See, what he wants to tie is a love. He wants to tie that. It's not long-term health benefit, but it's a quote-unquote short-term health benefit. Right. It means it's unhealthy for the person to do that. Right. So now he's going to smoke, so he won't be doing that. He'll be coughing. Right. So it could be, if you just focus on the next 24 hours, so what he's doing is advancing his health. So it's a lump doesn't help him. I don't know. Again, I'm not a doctor. It would be very hard for me to justify smoking, even short-term, you know, to say that to invoke this pain.
What about medical marijuana?
I can't even talk about without the recorders on. With the recorders on, you want to say something. Anyway, getting back to our regular story. So unless one wants to argue as follows, remember when we were magged it, when we defined Dabash Aida Shavu Chol Nefesh, we said that there were two ways to define Shavu Chol Nefesh. One was before Tyson entered the scene, and one is after Tyson entered the scene. Before Tyson entered the scene, I thought that the definition of Shavu Chol Nefesh is very simple. Go out to the marketplace, go out to the shuk, and see what's the island doing. If most people are doing something, that's considered to be by definition shavuach nefesh. Taisus said that's right, and then Taisus added on the oikish if it's being done for health reasons, that's also called shavuach nefesh, even though the majority of people are not. So, what if you live in a place where nebuch smoking is the norm? What if you live in a place where most people talk about smoking? So then maybe one could argue that even though they're foolish and even though we're claiming they're awesome and not Torah, it's all true. But if the reality is that the most people are smoking, then you don't have to come into Taisa Shtikl Torah Brius. Then it can be qualified as Davar Shavuach Nefesh just based on the reality. So if one lives in a society where such a phenomenon exists, then maybe one could stretch it and say, well, that's called Shavuach Nefesh. Because the whole reason to undermine it is to say it's not normal. Well, the mice, it is normal. It's bad, it's terrible, it's unhealthy, it's killing you, but it's normal. So maybe one could justify, quote unquote, the smoking on Yom Tov in such a place. If Lefiri is the idea, it's a moot question. It's moot because it's also even not on Yom Tov, and it's moot because I don't think we should be martyred under any circumstances. But in theory, there were, we have to be honest, there were some rabbanim who were still willing to negotiate a heter of smoking b'chlal, which again I find not acceptable. But and there were even some who were willing to go the extra mile and say that maybe it's mutter on Yom Tov also. But to say it's mutter on Yom Tov, Lefiri is the idea, in a society where the oilam doesn't smoke, where hopefully the norm is people don't smoke, I don't think there's anything to discuss. In a society where the norm is still to smoke, hopefully has changed, or should be changing, will be changing, I think everyone knows which place I'm talking about. So if you live in a place where it's considered to be even more mukabal to smoke than another place is, so then maybe you want to kvetch out, that's called the Davar Shavuach Nefesh. Again, the feeling is that they don't like it, but at least I could hear what somebody is trying to sell such a heter. So it's interesting, this is an example of something which we've seen in our own lifetime has radically changed. The psak has radically changed, the minig has radically changed, because the matias has radically changed. When I was a kid, it wasn't that long ago, not only did people smoke on Yom Tov, but I remember as a kid that the shuls had the yahrzeit candles set up for, can you imagine that? Imagine in a world that we live in today, imagine that there were designated yahrzeit, not that they were designated smoking areas, you could smoke wherever you wanted to, but there were spots in the shul, when you walked in, there was a yahrzeit candle. I remember the most blatant was Shavuos night. I remember Shavuos night, all the men were sitting around learning, whatever they were doing all night, learning all night, eating cheesecake all night, and smoking. So there was a yahrzeit candle when you walked into the shul, and there was a yahrzeit candle downstairs, they were all around, so enabled, because you can't strike a match on Yom Tov.
Yeah. In the shul?
Yeah. No, I didn't say in the sanctuary. I don't think people didn't smoke during davening in the shul, but they definitely, I have images of the little boy, of people sitting around Shavuos night with the gemaras open, sitting around and smoking, and taking the flame from the yahrzeit candle. And it wasn't outdoors, it was very much indoors. So am I correct in my memories? Okay, I think other people remember that.
That's never during davening.
No, not in the middle of davening. I'm saying, but you know, the during the kiddush, you have to...
You are on a plane, and the person sitting next to you is smoking.
Right.
It's not, I mean, it's hard to explain to anybody.
Right.
These guys are 20 years old, so it's hard to explain.
Right.
If people on a plane...
I'm sure you remember this, right? I'm sure it's a little boy in Brooklyn. You don't remember this?
No, yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
yeah,
sure.
I mean, still
But if you back up the east door, the head there, it's better to say that it's mutter, and then no one's chayiv being over an east of the raisa, than to say.
No, but I'm saying it's also in the raisa. So
right.
I'm saying you are over in the raisa. Again, the bottom line is lafini is daiti, under no circumstance whatsoever should anybody be started to smoke or should be smoking at all during the week. And kal v'chomer in yontav, I think it's mamash nesamalchus. I think it's nesed derais. I think it's a davish in a shulchan nefesh in America. It's not done for no health reasons, and I still think Baruch Hashem, I think the majority of people in America don't smoke. I would hope that that's true. So it's still considered to be a davish in a shulchan nefesh, and therefore I think there's no grounds whatsoever to be matved on yontav. That's in terms of this taisus. Hopefully, next week we have to continue where this taisus is going to take us in terms of the bathing and the showering and the schwitzing, in terms of other applications and how this plays out. Just in terms of next week.